Hi, everybody. This is Lindsay Roberts. I'm joined with Richard Roberts, my husband, today. And if you've ever seen his Richard Roberts Expect a Miracle podcast or my entirely unconventional podcast, we're doing something unconventional today. We are marrying the podcast. I've only been married to him for over 40 years. So why not marry the podcast today?
Right.
We're going to do a joint effort and ask questions because you have sent them in. And if you have any questions, you can go to ask@richardroberts.org, or the same thing, ask@makeyourdaycount.com. That's my website. So if you would like to do any of that, send us your questions. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. We are going to ask and answer just as you requested. So some of these may get silly, some may get funny, some we may just avoid altogether, but we'll see where it goes. Okay.
Am I getting them on my...
I'll ask them to you.
Oh, okay.
You can ask them to me, but let's start with, what's the most surprising thing you learned about God recently?
Wow.
You're usually not surprised because you know the Bible backwards and
forwards.
The most
surprising thing, I suppose...
I know. Nothing surprises Richard, and I'm going to tell you why. That man has studied the Bible since he was a teenager, so I don't think God is a surprise to you. Have you seen something happen surprising, like God blessed you in a surprising way? I'll have to tell you this much. I always pray secret things to be revealed and hidden things to come out of darkness. So has God surprised you with anything?
I don't know if I would say it was a surprise, but I am amazed.
Okay, that's good.
I am amazed that God is so personally in my life.
Okay.
That he's right there, just a prayer away, that I can talk to him day or night, no matter what my circumstances are, no matter what I'm going through, if I'm happy, if I'm sad, if I'm glad, if I'm upset, he's right there. He's thick-skinned. He can take it.
Yeah.
He's not like a referee that would give you a technical foul, you know. Yeah. You can talk to him straight.
Yeah.
And he still loves you and cares about you, and he allows you, I guess, to get that out of your system so you can come back to faith.
Well,
again,
he knows what's in your heart, so why try and hide it? God knows and sees everything. I had one surprise that has led me to a host of surprises, including something that I told you today about praying to get things back that the devil has stolen. We were talking about this, I'm going to say a month ago, maybe a couple months ago. And we got a very unusual call from a gentleman that we work with. And it was the strangest thing, because he was going to pick up something that had been taken from our family. I'm going to use the proper word, stolen, because it was actually hidden in a building and uncovered. And the funny, odd, weird, unusual thing was, it was something of my daughter's. It was dated the year she was born, and I know exactly what it was. I know exactly what we got for her. One of the parts of it that was just really interesting that I actually got back, one of the things I actually got back was a baby bracelet. I call it baby, but it was the identity bracelet from when they were in the hospital. Now, that may not mean that may not mean anything to anybody else, but it meant the world to me.
Sure.
It was a treasure to me. Well, we got this unusual phone call that this gentleman was paid to repair a building. And lo and behold, he saw some things in the building and he recognized the names on it. And the building had nothing to do with us at all whatsoever. And I had been praying secret things to be revealed, hidden things to come out of darkness. And when he called and it was returned, it might not have mattered to anybody else on the planet, but it really mattered to me. It had great value to me, including sentimental value to me. And I just began to think that was a surprise. But I, yesterday, I texted one of my daughters and said that I prayed for God to fill their day with miracle-filled surprises. And that's what has been happening.
Well, going back to what you were saying about what that man found of ours, that was a total surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I were to go back and answer your original question, I'm surprised that God doesn't forget anything. He knew right where that was after all these years.
Yeah.
And that man found it He wasn't looking for it.
Yeah.
He was repairing the building.
Yeah.
And then he had enough.
And it had nothing to do with the building.
He had enough honesty and sincerity that he called us.
He was fabulous. And it was just precious. And I believe God will honor him. And I know, we all know this, that how this happened was miraculous.
Totally.
Totally miraculous. It was literally hidden and he was repairing a building. It's sort of like, this wasn't how it happened, but imagine this. If you're going into a building and, you know, all of a sudden two bricks fall out and you say, oh, I'm going to put those bricks back in. And you find some buried treasure that had been hidden there since 1985. And that's not exactly how it happened, but it was kind of how it happened in a weird way. And it was even more remarkable and miraculous than that.
It's been nearly 40 years.
Yeah. And so we giggle about that. But the truth be told, Richard, God has things he wants to restore. He said, I'll restore what the cankerworm has eaten.
And we've had prophetic words about
that. It actually says, I'll restore the years.
Kenneth Copeland gave you and me a prophecy several years ago about what the worm has stolen, God will restore.
And I think that we sometimes forget or put it out of our mind or say, well, that's long since gone. How could God or anybody else bring that back? You know, I am amazed what God can do and what angels can do to facilitate God's desire.
Can I give you another question? Here's one that I got. I'll start with you. How do you talk to God when you're feeling really sad or upset?
You know, the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is Lindsay. I couldn't hide my feelings from a duck. I am not that kind.
When I walk in the room, I know how you're feeling.
You do.
I can see it all over your face.
Yes, I'm not the kind of person. I am just perky fine. And then everybody believes I'm perky fine. Uh-uh. Okay, Lindsay, what's wrong? And I think that's how I talk to God. God, I'm sad and I'm upset. And you already know that, so how can we talk about it? And I think that I'm honest with God, therefore God is always honest with me, but I have to be honest with him. Hey, God, my day is just amazing. Praise the Lord. And that's not my heart. It's in fact, it's maybe sometimes would almost constitute a lie. And I can't do that. I don't want to do that. If I want to be honest with God, I always do, but you got to remember, be honest with the one that can help you. You know, if I don't know how to get, Richard laughs about my sense of direction or lack thereof. He tells me I can get lost in the driveway. And it's actually true. We used to do all the landmarks when I had to go somewhere by the McDonald's that I was familiar with. And he would say, okay, go to the McDonald's, turn left. Well, if they move the McDonald's or tear it down, I'm toast. It's just, that's the end of that. But if I need good directions, I have to go to Richard and say, Richard, I have no idea where I'm at. I'm lost. And I need you to get me from point A to point B. And he'll say, okay, tell me the landmarks. And I will. Do you have a street name? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And then he will tell me, go two blocks and go left, go this. But if I don't tell you honestly where I'm at, I'm not only lost, I'm going to stay lost. So I feel like God's the same way. Just tell him. He already knows what's in you. You might as well own it and see how God chooses to repair it.
Now, getting back to what you said a moment ago about being upset.
Uh-huh.
I remember, and you'll remember this, years ago, you and I went up to my parents.
No, I completely forgot about it.
You and I went up to my parents' house. We went in the back door in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And my mother was there and I said, where's Dad? Mm-hmm. She said, he's in the bedroom. And so I started to go back there. She said, I wouldn't go back there if I were you. And I said, why, Mother? She said, because he and God aren't talking today.
And that's honest.
Well, he was upset over something. Probably he was upset because God had spoken him to do something and he didn't have any money to do it.
That's
and he was mad at God that God would tell him to do something and then not give him the resources.
He wasn't necessarily mad at him.
Well,
he just wasn't speaking to him.
With Oral Roberts, he was mad or at least upset.
Yeah, you'd never knew.
But you know, at a day or two, they worked it out and they were best buds again.
And see, I'm kind of the opposite. Your dad was really funny. He would sit back and ponder. Oh, that is so not me. I got to talk to you right now. Richard, 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 Richard. You know that little child that goes, mom, 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 mom.
Yes.
They learned it from me. So it's the truth. I want it. Can we talk about, let's figure this out. Lindsay will do it when we get home. No, I don't want to wait till then. Tell me now.
No.
Yeah, it's the truth. So I'm not going to go to God and say, you know, I'm just going to sit here patiently. I probably should be patient. But the truth be told, God knows what I'm feeling. He knows what I'm hurting. I might as well have a conversation with him about it because he's the one that can fix it. So there's my answer to that. Okay, I've got one for you. If you were thinking about, okay, this is really funny because Richard and I are totally opposite on this. What's the most adventurous thing you've ever done? Well, can I answer that for you? Every day that he goes to country, yeah, did I say adventurous, adventuresome, whatever, whatever it is. If I were to answer for Richard, every day that he goes to some of the places he would travel to, it's an adventure because some of the places he would go to, I didn't even know where to find him on the map. You know, people think, oh, you go to all these fancy places. You get so much when you get to travel. Well, that sounds nice. That's not necessarily how it is. Some of the countries that you and I have been to have been interesting. Going to Nigeria by way of Swaziland, by way where I went, I came by myself after you. Well, I had someone that actually ended up going with on the same trip with me. But the week after my son went on to heaven, Richard had shots to go do a crusade. And I did not have those shots because I was pregnant, going to stay home with my son. And interestingly, I told Richard, go on ahead. You've got a job to do. Do it. And I'll see you in a couple weeks. Well, the Lord spoke to me and said, join him. And I didn't have the proper shots. So I ended up taking the trip of a lifetime to places I had never been before. And we went to, I went by traveling Senegal, the Ivory Coast. Did not necessarily know where those places were, Swaziland, Nigeria, a lot of interesting places that were not necessarily resort destinations, and they were hard crusades. They were emotional crusades. They were physically hard on me because I'd had a baby only a week before, and it was one of the most unusual adventures of both of our lifetimes, but Richard continues to go places like that. And I remember getting a call that nobody could find him, including us. And that adventure actually was very uncomfortable, but turns out you were fine. You got home fine. One of his greatest adventures, I think, involved Africa when your luggage made it to Paris, but you weren't going to Paris. You never did. And he, the only person on the trip he could borrow clothing from was a gentleman that was 6'6".
Well, I was.
And Richard's not.
I was on the way to do a crusade in a place in Nigeria called Abakaliki.
Yep.
Which is not the end of the world, but it's way out there near it. And when I got to Abakaliki, my luggage didn't arrive. Mm-hmm. It didn't make the change.
Even the airlines weren't sure how to get there. That's the truth. I contacted
all I had,
them.
All I had was the clothes that I was wearing. And I had my toiletry items and things like that in a little bag that I was carrying. And this was long before the TSA, you know, where you could carry little things in your carry-on. And when I got there, I was to meet the president of the nation the next morning. And all I had was what I had worn all night, literally almost 36 hours, you know.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there was a guy on our team who was 6'6", and I borrowed a shirt of his, and I wore the same pants, and I washed everything else out in my hotel room, and my luggage did not arrive the entire week of the crusade, and the pastors felt so sorry for me that they went and had a suit made for me.
Bless their hearts.
And finally, we got back to Lagos, where we were changing flights, and there was my bag.
And you
had been
gone.
There all the time. Yeah. They said, it's not there. Didn't come from Paris. No, it was there.
And
they
you weren't in Paris.
No, I never went to Paris. And my bags, we thought, went to Paris. They never did.
Yeah.
They were sitting in the Lagos airport.
So we've had some adventures.
I've had some adventures like that.
Just like that. But you know what you do? We had one where, and it sounds like we're talking crazy talk, but we weren't, where we really were hungry. We were really out. I won't call it the wilderness, but it was in some remote areas of Africa, and we hadn't eaten, and we were, our whole, I'll be honest with you, our whole team had gotten sick, and it was one of the craziest adventures I'd ever been on, and we asked a gentleman to come back and do anything he could to find us some food, and he came back with this little tiny round dark thing that looked like a coal, a brick of coal. I guess you call it that, a piece of coal. And we asked him what it was, and he said, I don't know. And we ate it anyway because we were hungry. But, you know, not all trips are like that, certainly. But a lot of them are unusual, and they're an adventure. But I tell you this, your dad used to talk about adventures in faith, and that's exactly what it is. Sometimes God sends us to some really cool places. Cool in my mind might not be cool in other people's minds. They're not necessarily vacation destinations, but they've always been obedient destinations, and that's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of adventure. And I just really believe that when we obey God, no matter what the territory is, it could be next door. If we obey God, it's an adventure and it's a good one.
Okay, here's a question that I got for you. What's the best advice you've ever received?
This is a strange answer because I've had a lot of good advice from everybody. I've had good advice from my family members, absolutely. I have had good advice from my children, good advice from you. I have two that literally pop in my head. One day, I was very, very upset by someone who had been wicked to my family. And they were not choosy or picky who they were wicked to. They were wicked to it affected every member of my family. And it was painful. It was a bunch of lies. It was evil. It was devil inspired. And I truly thought I had at least buried it. Maybe not forgotten about it, but buried it. This was actually about a gentleman that for some reason had decided to target us. And just, I think the best thing, he was goal set on destroying our family, just determined to destroy our family. I mean, wipe it off the earth if he could get the opportunity. And I'd said something out of my mouth, and one of my daughters came to me in the middle of all this, and we were getting ready to say goodbye, and it was a lovely, friendly day. It was just one little spew of that, and the rest of the day was lovely. And she said, Mother, if you don't forgive him, it will destroy you. It will destroy your health. It was, she said, and that doesn't mean everybody who doesn't forgive, it's all about them. No, I'm saying this was my daughter prophetically saying something to me to forgive this person. And I knew in my heart, I knew in my spirit, I knew in my soul, I knew she was right.
That was good advice, wasn't it?
That was the best advice for a life-altering situation that could have gone a million different ways, but it didn't. I was healed. I was healed. I can't tell you if that other person ever changed. All I can tell you is I was healed.
I guess the best advice I ever got came from my dad. He taught me, don't be like other people. Mm-hmm. Be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. He had an experience that profoundly affected my life, and it was before I was born.
Yeah.
He was in a sociology class in a Christian college. And the sociology professor got up and said, it is scientifically impossible for God to have created a woman from a man's rib. And the Lord spoke to my father in the class and said, get up and go out in the hallway. I want to speak to you. And so he excused himself from the class as if he was either going to the bathroom or going to drink a water. And when he got out in the hallway, the Lord said to him, Oral Roberts, don't be like other men. Be like Jesus and bring healing to the people. Mm-hmm. And I've carried that with me all my life. And that he also taught me to be myself. You know, when I grew up, people would say to me, how are you going to fill Oral Roberts' shoes? Well, he wore a size 11. I wore a size 9. I'm not going to fill out an 11 shoe. I fill out a 9 shoe. Mm-hmm. But the Lord said to me, you fill out your own shoes. Be yourself.
Yeah.
Be the man that I called you to be. That's good advice to me.
He gave me one piece of advice that I'll never forget, because I had reached my load limit, the criticism, the attacks on our family. I mean, nobody that I know of directly this close was attacked in such a verbal, vocal, media way as I saw your father attacked, your family, then eventually it filtered into my family. And honestly, the lies, it's like you make it up as you go and not have any soul to understand the damage that could be lifelong damage to other people. I mean, really damaging enough to get them out of their calling. I mean, so painful, so hurtful. And you're on your merry way damaging somebody else. And what you think of it is that's your paycheck. Well, it might be your paycheck. It's my life. It may be my calling. It may be my family. I work very hard to get my children here. I do not want anything to happen to them. And I went up to your dad and I said, I've had enough. I'm done. I'm finished. I quit. And we would joke about quitting a lot as a joke. But this time he knew I wasn't kidding. And he said, okay, but your dad was never, okay, he was never like that. So why was he like that now? I thought that was pretty weird. And he'd give some spiritual answer. You know, usually it was a spiritual dissertation that you'd have to go look up in the Bible and ponder for days. And I needed to do that. And he usually did it. And I honestly missed that. And I would revel in having that again. But this time he just said, okay. And I'm like, what do you mean? Okay. That's not funny. And I said, in my brain, I was like, okay, Oral, that's just too easy. And he said, okay, but what would you do that would be more fulfilling no matter how bad this is, no matter how painful, how hurtful, and of all people who would know what criticism feels like, it was your dad, especially lying criticism, it was your dad. And so he said, okay, but what would you do that could mean as much to you as obeying God, even though it's hard? Even though it's awful sometimes, even though it's painful sometimes, what could you ever do that could be as fulfilling to you as being obedient to God's call? I remember looking at him and say, fine, I unquit. And I walked out the door and that was that. But that was marvelous advice to stay on course no matter how hard it is with God's calling.
Don't you wish that when people talk to you, they were under oath?
Like, I think some people would lie under oath.
Like they were in a perjury. Court of law. Like they were in a court of law with the penalty of perjury if they told a lie.
Don't I think you wish people risk penalty people of perjury just for fun sometimes.
Under oath. I would like that.
I think it would be helpful, but do I think that some people could actually tell the truth under oath? I actually think people could lie under oath.
I don't think some people would know the truth if it met him, hit him in the face.
I tell you, I've watched your dad, how he handled criticism. Now, how he handled other things might have been a little bit trickier, but how he handled criticism was supernatural. And we all could learn a lesson.
Well, here's what he taught me about criticism. He said, criticism will only help you if it will hurt you if it should. He said, Richard, when I get criticized, the first thing I do is I say to myself, is there any truth in what they're saying? Yeah. If there is, then I need to make an adjustment and change. But if there's no truth in it, discard it.
You know, there's constructive and destructive criticism though. Constructive criticism to me, and this is the way I always played around with it. Constructive criticism to me was someone is saying something that needs to be said, but they do it in a way, they construct it so that they can help you. And they're loving to you. And it's done in a loving, kind, godly way. It's administrated with love. Destructive is whether it's truth or lies, they're trying to destroy you and you know it. And you know the spirit, you know the feeling, you know all of that. And I think that we just have to do what we started this whole podcast out saying was listen to God. Go to God, ask him, what does he have to say on this adventure? This has been an unusual podcast. We joined Richard's podcast and my podcast. Thanks for listening to Richard's Expect a Miracle podcast with Richard Roberts. Thanks for listening to my podcast, Entirely Unconventional. We pray for you right now from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. I pray for God to bless you, for God to bring healing to you, for God to minister to you, and for God to encourage you in every area of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
And remember this, God knows who you are, he knows where you live, he knows what you're going through right now, and he cares. He's concerned about you. You can talk to him because he's your best friend. And I pray over you right now that you'll do that, knowing that he's only going to tell you the truth and what you need to hear. And I add my prayers to Lindsay's. I pray for your healing in every area of your life, and I'm believing and expecting miracles in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next time here from the Expect a Miracle podcast and the Entirely Unconventional podcast. See you next time. Let me ask you a question. Do you need a miracle in your life? You know, most everyone I know needs a miracle. A miracle in some area, either spiritually or physically or financially or in their family or in some other area of their life. Most everyone I know needs a miracle. And that's one of the reasons why I put together the School of Miracles. It's an online school that you can enroll in. It has lots of classes to teach you how to get into a position to receive miracles in your life. I mean real miracles. Now, I grew up with miracles. I've witnessed miracles all of my life through my father, Will Roberts' ministry, and through my own ministry. I know that miracles are a way of life if you just reach out and use your faith. And in this school, I teach you how to use your faith and how to get yourself into a position to receive those miracles that you need. So the School of Miracles is now available. It's online, and you can enroll, and you can learn how to get yourself into a position to receive miracles. Now, once again, let me ask you, what kind of miracle do you need? Is it a spiritual miracle you need? Is it a physical miracle you need? Is it something in your family, or is it in your emotions? Is it in your finances, or is it in your business, or in your job, or in your ministry? What area of life do you need a miracle in? That's what the School of Miracles is all about. Just simply go to theschoolofmiracles.org. You can enroll today. And I promise you this, I believe you'll be better for it.